Hey, just left the store. I will be there shortly. Got something for you and the baby. So I will see you in a little bit. Yeah, put the beers in the freezer. And we'll have a good time.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on, have a little class.
Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting, it can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Road to Stardom Radio.
Welcome, 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 everyone. Welcome, 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 everyone. This is 16 Road and Road to Stardom Radio, 6 Hours Radio. We have a great show today. So let's get this show started. I don't know what's going on that I went to open 6's mic, and for some reason it hung him up. I don't know why. But we're going to get the show started because we need to get this show started. And we're going to start off on a sad note. And, you know, I don't want to start off the show on a sad note, but we have to talk about this. And this person that did this needs to be found. So I think this past weekend in Brooklyn, there was a stabbing. A young lady was stabbed, a 19-year-old young lady was stabbed to death. She was hanging out with her family members and her twin sister, and they decided after hanging out, they're going to go to the bodega. This happened in New York and Brooklyn. They're going to go to the bodega, get something to eat from the bodega. Guy approaches them. He hollers at the girl. She tells him no. He follows them and stabs the girl to death, all because she said no to him. Now I'm going to play a clip. I am going to play a clip that I came across talking about this story. So just give me a minute to pull it up, because I found it on TikTok. Just give me a minute. Let me pull it up. And then we can get, and y'all will be able to hear it once I pull up this video that I saved in my account so that we could talk about this stuff. And I was, you know, in hearing this, I was like, all right, let me mute the sound that we got in the background. Okay, let's mute that. So yeah, this is crazy. She was only 19 years old. I want to pull it up, but I'm trying to. I want to pull it up, so let me pull up TikTok. Because this is crazy. All because she said no to you. You want to do something like that. And they haven't found him yet. They haven't found him yet. They haven't found him yet, but so and they were hanging out, you know, I don't know if it was like some social spot they was at. It was at some social spot, and he just, you know, they left there, said they was hanging with family, said it wasn't alone, and, you know, when you hang, you know, when you hang out, you know, back in the day, you hang out at the club, you go, after the club, you go get something to eat. Well, New York, that's what you did. If the diner was open, depending on where you was at, there was a diner open, you go to the diner. There was a any type of restaurant open, you would go there, get you something to eat after the club. And that's what they did. They walked to the store and went to get something to eat. And this guy, you know, trying to holler at one of the twins, she told him no, turned him down, and it pissed him off, and he stabbed her to death. This is crazy. I don't know why my TikTok is playing these videos and I can't mute it. Sorry for the background noise, y'all. I'm trying to get this footage for y'all. The sound bite, rather. But these videos... Okay, this is annoying me. That is annoying me. That I can't cut that off. And I think that my Wi-Fi is messed up right now. My Wi-Fi is, I think, messing up right now, so it's not letting me do anything that I need to do for the show. This don't make no sense. Sorry about that, y'all. Yep, I really am sorry about that. I have to restart this thing over. I don't know if it's the Wi-Fi or my computer itself, but we gonna get this in. When I saw this, the post on Instagram, and they posted the guy's picture, what he looked like, and it was like, please, reshare, repost this. His picture needs to get out there so that people see him. They know this is the guy that killed the girl. And I put, get this coward needs to get off the streets. Because you're a coward. If you remember a while back, I'm going to tie this in with another story. Remember a while back, we talked, and this is the beginning of the year, we talked about the girl being hit in the head with a brick and the guy hit her in the head with a brick because she didn't give him no play, basically rejecting him. And he hit her in the head with a brick. Even though we found out that that story was fake, but this one is real. This is a similar story. It wasn't a brick used, but it was a knife used. And the victim was only 19 years old. You understand what I'm saying? This person ain't really get to live their life. You understand what I'm saying? This person ain't really get to live their life. I hate that this young lady's life was taken away and the other twin survived. She survived because I don't know if he attacked her as well. That's why I want to, you know, pull up that story through TikTok, but, you know, you heard the noise in the background. You're trying to get the info. And it was acting up. So I had to restart all over. But I'm telling you what I'm like. And after I did that post saying he's a coward, please repost it, repost his picture, I go to my TikTok, and what pops up? a video of them, of the new, of someone sharing the story about what happened. Yep. That pops up on my TikTok feed. And I'm like, and I said, let me save this so we can talk about this on the show. And here we are talking about that as the first story, because I don't want to wait to talk about it, you know, because what I really was trying to say, right, what I was really trying to say in the moment, when, because I was saying we need to, I was saying that, because, you know, people are going to say, oh, he has some mental issues. That's probably why he did what he did. You know, and I'm sure, you know, they are saying that, you know, some people might say that he got mental issues and that's why he did what he did. Just because somebody told you no. So. Let me get this. Let's put it in another way, though. Let's put it in the way that he's a kid, and he wants McDonald's. And his mother tells him, no, he can't have McDonald's. He going to stab his mother because she said, no, he can't have McDonald's? That's why I'm trying to figure that out. Is he going to say no? If his mother tell him no to McDonald's, is he going to stab his own mother because he didn't get McDonald's? So you going to stab and kill your own mother because you didn't get, because she didn't give you McDonald's when there's perfectly good food in the house to eat? You understand what I'm saying? There's perfectly good food in the house to eat, but you talk about you want McDonald's, she tell you no, so you're going to pull out a knife and stab her? Or what if it wasn't a knife? What if it was a gun? So you're going to pull out a gun on your mother and shoot her because she told you no to McDonald's? It's boggling my mind that these men out here don't understand if a person says no, that no means no, and if you get rejected, you have to accept it. You know, you may come across another woman who may be like, you know, give you some time of their day, and might talk to you. See, back in the day, this is what we used to do. So I'm of an older generation than the young kids of today. And what we used to do, if a guy come, and talk to you, you give him a little conversation, and if he say to you, can I get your number? Oh, you say, sure, but you give him a fake number. You don't give him a real number. Right? You don't let him know where in the area, if you live in that area, where in the area you live at. Like, if he say, oh, where you from? And you say, oh, I'm from, just make up, like, if he asks you where you from, you just make up where you from. Just say you visiting family, you live in another state. So this way, because 9 out of 10, you're not going to run into that person again that you gave a fake number to, unless it was at a club. That's different. Now, if it's at a club where you met him, or that same club the next weekend, because he might be there, he see you again and be like, oh, I tried to call you, but that number ain't work. You're going to have to explain why the number he dialed and he couldn't reach you on. Yep. People used to, because we used to have the chat line. People used to give out the number to the chat line. Like, give the person the first number, but it'd be like a number to like either like a restaurant or like the chat line they had. But then that's why you can't go in the same. You have to wait a while. You can't go back to the same spot you was when you met this person because you never know, you may run into them. Like when I, for me, this is what I used to do. I never give nobody my real government name. I would give, if I met somebody, I would give them my nickname. I would give them my nickname. That's what I would do. I would give them my nickname. And in giving them my nickname, if I ran into them again and they called me by my nickname, I would still answer. Even though it ain't my real name, they would answer. Because I remember I gave a dude my number, gave him my nickname. Because, you know, we were into the same, we were into music, so. And we exchanged numbers. He called me, and he called me by my nickname. He couldn't really remember it. And when he finally figured it out what it was. So, yeah, this is, but people think, you know, some people can figure it out that you're giving them a fake name. But see, if you know by one name, if your family calls you by one name, right, and it's not your government name, but it's a decent name, then, hey, if you meet somebody, give them your nickname your family call you or that your friends call you. Because when they call you, and even if you do give them a number, like they have apps now that you can get numbers from that you can use as your number, and it's connected to your actual phone. So if the person calls you on the number you gave them, they're calling you, but they don't have your real number. You don't have your real number. Yep. There's a lot of things as women we used to do back in the day when a guy would approach us trying to talk to us and we didn't want to talk to them. We gave them see, people was giving fake names. And see, when you giving a fake name, that's why I said for me, I was using the nickname that I was given as a kid so that when they called, so if I saw the person again, I would still answer them. I wouldn't ignore them. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't ignore them. And they'd be calling me by. But if I'm dating, if it's somebody I'm dating and we get to know each other, we get into a relationship, of course I'm going to let them know what my government name is. Because if they come to my home, they're going to hear my family call me by my government name. They're going to be like, is your name really such and such? Because I get called by a lot of names in my household. I get called by my government name. I get called by my nickname. And I get called by the name my nieces and nephews nephew gave me because he couldn't say my name. So, you know, so if your person dated me, you would hear hear me be called a lot of different names, and I answer to all of them. Crazy thing, I answer to all of them. So, yeah. So, yeah. I'm going to try to pull up this soundbite for y'all. Just give me a minute. I have to sign in. To sign into my TikTok so that when I play this soundbite, you're going to be like, what? Yep. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked. I just got to get the soundbite so y'all can hear it. And let's go to my profile. It should be the first. So let me unmute the sound so I can unmute the sound. Because I don't want to start playing it and then you don't hear nothing. So let me unmute. There we go. Let me pull up this sound bite for y'all to hear. Here we go. Okay, that's the wrong one. I'm sorry, y'all. Give me a minute. This is the wrong video. Okay, let me mute that. That is the wrong one. That's something else I wanted to talk about. That was something else I wanted to talk about. Let me see. Okay, I thought I saved it. Let's see if I put in let's see, 19-year-old. And she was stabbed to death in Brooklyn. Oops. Let's see what comes up. I think I found it. Here we go, I found it. A young life has been taken, and our community was devastated from it. Cynthia, who did not want to give her last name, is a longtime family friend, mourning the loss of 19-year-old Samaya Spain. Detectives say a man fatally stabbed her outside this bodega on the corner of St. Mark's Place and 4th Avenue in Park Slope early Sunday morning.
She was just a sweetheart and a beautiful young lady. She had a very good heart. She cared for her community, and we love her.
Pieces of yellow police tape could still be seen left hanging outside the bodega Sunday afternoon, just a few hours after that gruesome attack. According to a witness who did not want to show their face on camera, Spain and her 19-year-old sister rejected a man's advances with...
Okay, sorry about that, y'all. I will get the soundbite back on. Just give me a minute.
Dude, this six in a row, or is this just a road show?
The man allegedly left this court. Came back acting erratic before stabbing one of them in the chest and the other in the arm. The witness claims to have been at a party with his sister moments earlier.
The guy in all black stabbed one of the girls in her neck and the other in her arm and ran. So that everybody gets that attending her, one of her friends took off their shirt and started putting neck compression on her neck to try to slow down the bleeding. She was gushing blood just down her entire body covering the street.
The As the deadly stabbing is now under police investigation, cell phone video shows commotion and what appears to be a group of people arguing inside the bodega before that stabbing. The two women were taken to a nearby hospital, but sadly, Fame could not be saved. Her sister, who detectives have not identified, is still recovering from her injuries. Now, as family and loved ones piece together a tragedy that will forever change their lives, they're remembering a young life lost too soon. Posters and candles spelling out the word twin for the slain sister sits outside of her apartment building in the Wyckoff Garden.
Now we got to deal with putting her to rest, and it's hurting every last one of us.
And right now there's a sign on this bodega, which is normally open 24 hours, saying that it's closed, although we can't confirm if it's related to this stabbing. And police say right now they are talking to the surviving sister, just trying to get more information about that attack. Now, at this hour, police say no arrests have been made, and the investigation remains ongoing.
It's very senseless. A young life has been taken, and our community is devastated.
Cynthia, who did not
want to
give her last name, is a
long... So, as I was stating, yes, she was 19 years old, a twin, and was stabbed at the bodega because the guy tried to talk to her, and her sister got told no, and he pulled out a knife and stabbed one in the neck and the other one in the arm. So if you follow me through social media on Threads, you will see that I posted the guy's picture who did the stabbing. If you can reshare that picture so it can circulate so that people can see, and if they see him, they know to turn him in. He is a coward. He is a coward. Something mentally wrong with him. And, we always use that as an excuse that, you know, the person has mental issues. That's why they did what they did. But as I stated before, I said, let's change the scenario. So if it was his mother, she said, no, he couldn't have McDonald's. Would he stab his mother because she said no to McDonald's? Or let's change the weapon. If it was a gun, would he shoot his mother to death because she said no to McDonald's? You know what I'm saying? So, like, we got to get this coward off the streets. And six. You've been listening to the soundbite, and I know you don't know what's going on, so I'm going to explain it to you. I think it was over the weekend, a 19-year-old twins were out hanging with family. This is in New York City, Brooklyn. So after hanging out with their family, they decided to go to the, we call the, I know where you live, you might call it a corner store. But where we, in New York, we call it the bodega. You know, say corner store,
the what?
We say bodega. So they went to the bodega to get something to eat after hanging out with their family and friends. Guy approaches them, tried to talk to them. They told him no, rejected him. He got mad, pulled out a knife. He stabbed one in the neck and one in the arm.
That's crazy.
So he leaves. And, you know, he runs away. But this soundbite was actually a video, but for those listening, it's a soundbite to y'all. They said that there was a group of people in the store before they got there already arguing in the store. And they show you the footage of three men, the guy who stabbed the girl, and two other guys arguing in the store. People who are passing around, like I said, when I went on Instagram, his picture, someone I follow posted his picture and was like, can you reshare it we don't allow stuff like this to happen in our community because he's from Brooklyn. And so I took the link of the picture, I shared it on my threads, and said, telling people to reshare it, so because you know people see it, they say, "Oh, that's the dude," and then they can get arrested. So what do you think? What do you think in this situation? You heard me say that if the scenario was different, it was his mother telling him no, he couldn't have, if he was a little kid, and his mother told him no, he couldn't have McDonald's. He would have stabbed his mother because she said no to McDonald's. Or if he changed the weapon, it was a gun, he would have shot his mother because she said no.
Well, the whole situation is ridiculous. My heart goes out to the family, the twin, the family in general, her friends, her family. It's just, it's unacceptable. I mean, if you can't stand to be rejected, you went for a rude awakening because you're going to get rejected in life, you know, and that's a shame. The unfortunate part is she'll never get to be whatever she was going to become. 19 years old, she had the world at her feet. Now she's gone. Now you got a twin that's going to forever be changed because twins are like, they're joined at the hip. You know, they're finish each other's sentences. They look alike. They're identical. They share each other's thoughts. They think alike, you know? And that twin's going to forever have that void. It's unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that we can't share this on the Six Eyes Radio Network because the music is still playing. So I don't understand what's going on with that. But nonetheless, it's an unfortunate event. And I'm sorry the Six Eyes Radio Network viewers aren't hearing this story so they can share it. My apologies.
Dude, they are hearing it because I'm logged
no,
in to
no,
the board.
No, you're not because before I called you, the music was still playing. There's nothing on the Six Eyes Radio Network right now.
So you're telling me Blog Talk done messed up on your side and not my side?
Yeah, there's nothing playing on Six Eyes Radio Network.
Because it's showing me on the board. That's the crazy thing about it.
Let's find out.
So we can come up with so many scenarios of in this situation of him being rejected. You go for a job. They tell you, no, you're not getting the job. You're going to kill a person who's doing the interviewing because they didn't give you the job. Everybody's not qualified for every position that is being offered in this world. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody's not qualified for every position that is being offered, that is being offered in this world. Yeah, you know, there's some jobs that say, well, no college education needed. All you need is a high school diploma. But they want you to have some kind of knowledge. So you telling me if this dude went for a job and they told him no, that he gonna kill the person that was hiring him? He gonna kill the person that was hiring him, that was doing the interview rather?
Yeah, you know what? This is why, and we're back. So for my listeners, my audience, we weren't up at the top of the show, but we're here. But the unfortunate thing, Rode, is mental health is so serious. You know, this is why we have to check in with our mental health. This is why, you know, on the Six Eyes Radio Network, I said, you know, the Lord wakes us up each and every day. I said, but after he wakes us up, how are we doing? How is our mental? And this is why we do our mental check-ins to make sure everybody is cool. You know, thumbs up, thumbs down, how are you feeling? You know, two paws up for Trumpet, two paws up for Diamond. you know, two thumbs up for you and I, you know, because it's very important. And a lot of people don't check in with their mental health, and a lot of people don't get help because they feel, well, I don't want to be labeled crazy. Well, the crazy thing to do is not to get help if you have mental issues, because there's no reason why that dude should have stabbed that girl and cut that girl on the arm because he was rejected. Hell, Halle Berry rejected me. You know, she said I had some nice lips, you know, but, you know, I didn't hurt Halle Berry. You know, I enjoyed my hug and the compliment she gave me, you know. But that's just sad, you know. It's a sad situation.
And remember, I was saying that we always use, when stuff like this happens, they always, you know, when he's going to go to court, be on trial, and you know his lawyer is going to throw in that he has mental issues. Just to try to get him off.
Oh, that's always the go-to. That's always the go-to.
And then
and,
they
when we finish okay, so are we doing the show together or am I just sitting listening? I don't know. So the thing is, after we finish this this segment, I want to talk about something else that happened and get your view on that, what you think about that. And anybody that's listening, press the one and weigh in with your comments as well.
I said I want to talk about this at the top, to talk about it, to get all the information we know about it out there, so that they find it, so they can find this guy. He had on all black, on the black hat, black jacket, black pants. He was light skinned.
But he's African American.
I think he had a beard and mustache. I'm not sure, but I got to look at the picture again, and so I could really give a good description of what this guy looked like. But
well, what's his race?
He's black.
Okay.
You know, I'm not like most people, just say when something happens, just throw any race out there to have the cops looking for somebody of a race that didn't even commit the crime. I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure that if there's a photo of the person circulating, that if I see it, I'm going to give a direct description. Because any wrong description you give and someone sees someone that fits the description but it's not the right person, you're putting an innocent person in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see the picture of this man circulating on social media, reshare the picture. If you see him in real life, make sure you give an accurate description of what this man looks like, what he has on, because you make any mistake in your description to the police, they are going by what you say. So you give any piece of description wrong, and they come across someone who fits exactly what your description is, but it's not the person, you're going to put an innocent person in jail, and the cops, some of these cops don't care.
Right.
That innocent person you put in, they're going to interrogate them and say, why did you do it? And they're going to say, do what? And the cop is going to say, you know what you did. And he's going to say, what did I do? And they're going to go back and forth, till finally he's told that he killed the person when he didn't. All because your description wasn't accurate, so they picked up the wrong person. And for his family members out there, if you're hiding him, because I know he probably left New York and went down south or somewhere to a family member's home, and y'all harboring the fugitive. That's basically how I see it, because that happens a lot. When a person commits a serious crime like that, they leave the state they're in and go to another state and stay with family members. they'll call their aunt, uncle, whoever, a cousin, and say, can I come visit you? And the family member say, sure. They're not going to tell the family just killed somebody. They're not telling the family member that. They just call them to say, hey, can I come visit you? And the family member say, sure. And what they do, they pack their stuff and go down to where that family member is. And his family knows exactly where he is, but when the cops come knocking at the door, they don't want to say nothing. And mm-hmm. what they're not understanding, you're harboring a fugitive. So even though you wasn't there when he committed the crime, they're going to charge you as an accessory to the crime because you're harboring a fugitive.
Mm-hmm.
I remember someone.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I remember someone was telling their story of something happening, and they did something, and they left the state they was in and went all the way to, I think it was North Carolina, and stayed with family.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the cops was looking for him, went to the family home where they were staying at, and what the family said, oh, I don't know where he at. I don't know where they at. I don't know where they at. And then finally when the police found out that they got a tip that the person was down south in North Carolina, they called the North Carolina police and said, this is our suspect, and they got arrested down there. But the family, who the person was staying with, was like, I don't know where he's at. I don't know where they at. But they knew. They just was lying to the police saying that they didn't know when they knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I say, it's unfortunate. But like I said, we hope that young man is caught. And like I said, condolences to the family who had to go through that. Now, shifting gears, here in Ohio, I don't know if you heard about this, but this young lady, 32 years old, left her 16-month child home for 10 days as she went to Detroit and Puerto Rico. She didn't have anybody come to watch the kids. She didn't call a cousin. She didn't call a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a brother, a neighbor, anyone to watch the child. She left the child in what they call a pack and play. The baby's name, the baby angel's name is Jaylin, J-A-Y-L-I-N, Jaylin. Little pretty, beautiful angel princess. And the 32-year-old mother went to Detroit and Puerto Rico. You can type it up. You can Google 32-year-old lady leaves her baby at home in a pack and play. You can Google that and see her in Puerto Rico dancing, having a good old time, and her baby is there left dying. And I just want to send out condolences to the family. That baby angel is in heaven, right there with God, because she didn't deserve that. You know, that lady could have took that baby next door, could have called a family member, a friend, anybody outside of just leaving her there to fend for herself.
Okay, I found
16 months old.
Okay. Wow, I just found the article.
Yes, read that for the audience, please.
Let me open it. Says, mother who left Tyler home alone for 10 days to go on vacation sentenced to life over her murder. It says, an Ohio mom has been sentenced to life over the death of her toddler after she left her home alone for 10 days last summer. Crystal, Kent, her last name, because you know she has a Spanish last name, so I have to Calendario. Crystal Calendario, 32, received a life sentence without parole on Monday for the aggravated murder of her 16-month-old daughter, Jalen, who died when Calendario went on vacation in June 2023, Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office announced in a press release. The sentencing came after Calendario entered guilty pleas in February for one count of aggravated murder in connection with the death of her toddler and one count of endangering children, according to online Cuyahoga County court records. Since Calendario left her 16-month-old daughter unattended at her Cleveland home from June 6th to June 16th. The prosecutor's office added in its release, when she returned to the residence at around 8 a.m., she found her daughter unresponsive and called the police, who later declared the toddler deceased at the scene. Jana was discovered in a packing pen on a line of soil with urine and feces with soil blankets, according to the release. The toddler died of starvation and severe hydration, pediatric neglect. Says Dr. Elizabeth Mooney, the deputy Cuyahoga County Medical Examiner, said in court Monday. Per NBC News, according to Mooney, the 16-month-old was emaciated, weighing 13 pounds, 7 pounds less than in her last doctor's visit than 2 months before. Says following an investigation, Calendario was discovered to have traveled on vacation to Detroit and Puerto Rico as she left her toddler at home. She was arrested on June 17th and charged with murder and related criminal offenses. Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Michael C. O'Malley said of Calendario's sentencing, "Today we remember Jalen, a beautiful baby girl who was taken from this world due to her mother's unimaginable selfishness. The thought of going on vacation for 10 days and leaving your child to starve to death in her packing plate is a new low in parental care." County Common Pleas Court Judge Brendan Sheehan told Calendario she committed the ultimate betrayal at her sentencing on Monday. Says Calendario, who, according to the outlet, struggles with depression and other mental issues, said in response, "There's so much pain that I have in regards to the loss of my baby, Jalen. I'm extremely hurt about everything that happened. I am not trying to justify my actions, but nobody knew how much I was suffering and what I was going through. God and my daughter have forgiven me." According to a local station, Calendario was terminated from her position as building substitute at Cleveland Elementary School Citizens Academy, Glenville, after her arrest last year. And she worked at a school with kids? Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. There was no family. You could have said, "Look, you know, I'm suffering." You could have said to a family member, "I'm suffering through depression. Can you watch the baby for me while I try and get myself together? Because if I'm not good, I won't be good for the baby." You couldn't do that. Even though she sentenced to life in prison. But you know her, if she got a lawyer, you know her lawyer, you hear in the article they mentioned the mental issues, that she was suffering depression and other mental issues. And usually when they say that in a lot of these court cases, the person doesn't go to jail, they put them in a mental institution. But she's got life in prison, no parole. In her statement, she said her daughter and God forgives her.
Well,
God is a forgiving God. But the people, the person, the father of the child, you couldn't give it to the father of the child and say, look, I'm going through something. Can you take care of the child while I try and get myself better? You could have did that. Like, I'm really not understanding this.
Yeah, it's just, I just want to say shout out to the good mothers who don't leave their children alone. Like I said, anybody could have watched that child. You know, somebody on the street that she trusts, a teenager. Anybody could have watched that child opposed to just leaving that child alone. 16 months old to fend for herself. Anybody could have broke in there, harmed the baby. Anything could have happened. And that baby is there, defenseless.
Yeah.
You know, the mother got life in prison. But one thing about it, they're going to make sure she gets fed. That baby didn't get a chance to be fed.
She's not going to survive in jail. And I'm going to tell you this right now. She's not going to survive in jail. They're going to have to put her in solitary confinement because they put her in general population. She's not going to survive in jail. And the reason is because there are women who are in jail right now, and most of them is for, like, drug offenses. Either they were selling it or using it and got arrested. And you know how people feel about children. And soon as she get asked, what are you in here for? Or if they find out why she's in jail, they're going to do something to her. So they're going to have to put her in solitary confinement where she's away from general population so that nobody will touch her. Because as soon as they find out what she did, because there's going to be women in there who wanted to be mothers, but for some reason, for health reasons, they could have been mothers, and then to hear what she did, you know, they're going to make them mad. And they're going to do something to her on the sly where nobody sees, and if somebody sees, they're going to make sure that they don't tell. Like, I give you whatever you want in commissary as long as you don't tell. And that person is going to agree to it and not tell. And even if they beat her up and she got a black eye and they ask how you get the black eye, she's not going to tell. She know why she got the black eye. She's not going to tell. Because even if she told the person who it is, they could be a lifer just like her. So it don't matter to them. They're life. I'm in here for life just like you. So it don't matter.
Yeah.
So there's something else I wanted to I wanted to share with the people. Now, you know how we always we talk about, like, different scenarios and what would you do with, like, a what would you do situation. Well, here's one I want to share with you and the listeners. Let me come out. So this came across on TikTok, and so, right, the lady shared the post, And I'm going to read you the post. So I'm trying to pause it because it's going across. Where's the pause button? Sheesh. So the lady says her boyfriend of 3 years lost his job last month.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know why this thing is moving and it's not letting me pause it to read it. It's moving like a slideshow. I don't know why it's doing that. So she said her boyfriend of 3 months and lost his job last month. 3 years lost his job, right? She said, which has been a significant challenge for him. He lost his job, and what he did is he asked her if she could pay the mortgage on his house. And she told him no. He lost his job. They were together 3 years, lost his job last month, asked her could she pay the mortgage, and she said no. But the kicker to this, they don't even live together. And she said if they lived together, yes, she would have paid it. But so she tells him no. She said he pulled out a spreadsheet of all the money he spent on her throughout their 3 year relationship, and he spent about $20,000 on her. And when she said no to not paying his mortgage, he broke up with her. Now, put yourself in this scenario. Let's say that we're going to switch it around. Let's say you're the one being asked to pay the mortgage. You don't live with your girlfriend. Your girlfriend loses her job and can't pay next month's mortgage and asks you, can you pay the mortgage? And just like she said no, you say no. Do you think, and she pulls out the spreadsheet of how much money she spent on you throughout their 3 year relationship, you think it was right for her to end the relationship? Or do you think y'all could have worked it out?
They could have worked it out.
Huh?
They could have worked it out if they wanted to.
Now, so, and one of the, I don't know why this thing is still, so, one of the people, you know, somebody commented and said, so one of the people commented and said, this is what one of the commenters said. She said she told him he's not in a relationship. He's in a very expensive one-sided friendship. I would have dipped too. And that's what one of the commenters said. Right? And let me see if I can pull up another comment. I don't know how I lose the. So, I'm trying to pull up another comment. Well, it's not letting me pull up another comment, but that's one of the comments. In this situation, I read it, and I'm like, they pulled out a spreadsheet to show that how much money he spent on her, which added up to $20,000, because she told him no, she couldn't pay his, she couldn't help him pay his mortgage because he lost his job. And I think, to me, I think this was a test. I think this was a test. Because people were like, wait a minute, they together 3 years in a relationship and she's not living with him. They're living in separate places and he's asking her to pay the mortgage in a place she don't stay. And I get it. Everybody's finances is different. So she may not have it to give, and that's probably why she said no. But I think if she would have said, look, I can't help you, babe, because I don't have it to give right now, but if I had it, I would give it. And in this case, he found a way to pay his mortgage, even though she told him no. He found a way to pay the mortgage. So, and that's why I said I think this is a test to see how loyal she really is. Because, one, in 3 years, y'all should be having a conversation about taking the further steps into your relationship to where you're thinking about getting married. And in situations like this, they should have had a conversation that even though they don't live together, that if something were to happen, would she be able to step in to help him out? They should have had this type of conversation within their 3-year relationship, even though they're not living together. And it also got me thinking, what if there's another woman? Because if he just lost his job, I don't know what this man's mortgage payments are a month, but if he just lost his job and he's asking her to help him pay the mortgage, and then she tells him no, then all of a sudden he's able to pay the mortgage, this telling me maybe there's another woman that she ain't know about that might have been able to help him. Because this is why they say you should always save money for a rainy day fund, so that if something should happen to where you lose your job, you have money tucked away that will cover your rent and stuff while you are searching for a new job. In this case, he didn't have no rainy day fund, but to pull out a spreadsheet, an itemized spreadsheet to show me that you spent $20,000 on me. If you are in a relationship and you spent your money on your mate, and they didn't ask you to do it, you just did it out of the kindness of your heart. When stuff like this goes down and they say no, they can't help you, you can't throw that in their face. You can't throw that in their face. They didn't ask you to spend $20,000 on them. They didn't ask you that. You did it on your own to show this person how much you're really into them. To me, I'm like, because if you can't pay your mortgage, what about your other bills? Because the mortgage is the most out of all your other bills that you have to pay. The mortgage is the most. Because you got the light bill, you got light and gas, you got water bill you got to pay for, you got your cell phone bill you got to pay for. The mortgage is the most out of all of those bills, If you combine the bills, then those bills combined probably more than your mortgage. But out of all your bills separated, that's the one with the most money. And like I said, you should have, you know, you got to have a rainy day fund. So when stuff like this happens, that you have money to cover your rent, your utilities, you have money set aside so that you can buy groceries while you're out there still looking, while you're looking for an appointment because you got let go of your job, they laid you off. You know, they might, because a lot of these jobs, you know, a factory job where these factories move to another, either another state or they start using, they outsource to like China, use Chinese factories to make the products. And that's why they're closing the American factories.
Well, you are enjoying Six in a Road. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, all this stems from mental health. Mental health. You know,
yeah.
It's all right, you know, if you're feeling down, call your friends, you know, call a professional and say, hey, you know, I'm not feeling my best. And sometimes all it takes is that conversation, you know, an ear to listen, you know. And that's all it takes.
Here's another story I want you to hear. Hear the sound bite. A Wendy's manager is charged with theft. I want you to guess of how she got charged with theft from stealing from Wendy's. What you think she did?
Probably with a cashier and took some of the money.
She's the manager. She's the manager. But So you think she was stealing money from the cashier, the cash register?
Yeah, or giving away free food.
So I'm gonna let the soundbite tell you what this lady was doing. Let me pull up the video.
Manually logging over 100 shifts for Bright, effectively stealing a year's worth of wages. The amount comes out to $19,898.
Wow.
The company uncovered this following an audit. Johnson confessed during a phone conversation with a police officer, disclosing that she deposited the money into her Cash App account and used it for her children's expenses. A warrant was issued for her arrest. This Wendy's manager created a fake employee and stole their earnings. In Pennsylvania, charges of theft were brought against Linda Johnson, a 35-year-old former manager.
So you heard that, right?
Wow, Linda.
Yes.
Wow.
She created a fake employee because she's the manager, so she's the one that does the hiring. When you come in there, you give your application, she's the one that does the hiring. So, of course, they see that, it's like, okay, such and such Brightly. We got a new employee at such and such movies. But she was taking the money and depositing it into her Cash App. She took a year's worth of salary of this fictitious person. Now, when I heard the story, I was like, and I was saying, this is what I think she was doing, right? Because you know, when you go to work, you got to clock in, right? And you know, sometimes if you're the manager, and one of your employees say, you know, there's traffic, you know, you call your manager, say, well, there's traffic. They'll say, okay, you know, they let you know there's traffic or whatever. That's why they're not there on time. But what I think, this is what I think she was doing. So you know when you come in, you clock, they got that, when you put your time card in and it clocks on your
uh-huh.
time card. I think this is what she was doing. She clocked in her time card. Then she turned uh-huh. around and clocked in this fictitious person's time card. And, you know, the thing is, no, unless they get a message from corporate that they're coming to pay a visit to the restaurant, she can continue doing what she's doing, clocking in as this person. Or my other theory was that she had, so you know, have the person come in on the late night shift after they work their regular 9 to 5, so that the workers will see that there's an actual person, and the person, but she's the one getting the money, and they're splitting the money. That's what I thought at first. That you know, a person comes in pretending to be this fictitious employee.
Mm-hmm.
And they're splitting the money. But then when I saw the video of them explaining, I was like, yeah, she was clocking in as this worker. And
wow.
So, you know, at the end of every week, you get one. You know, most places give you one day off. So, you know, one day out of that week is your day off, and then you work the rest
uh-huh.
of those days. She probably was clocking in as this person. So even on her day off, she would come in, but she's not clocking in as herself. She's clocking in as this fictitious worker on her day off.
Oh, wow.
But then I'm like, but they got cameras. How did I not notice that she's doing this? And they didn't find all of this out until there was an audit. Until they did an audit, they didn't find this out. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But she was smart to have the money go to her Cash App and not a bank account. Because they could have froze her bank account to get all that money back. They could have got a court judgment to put a lien on her bank account, and for them to get their money back. And she's an idiot because now she don't have a job. No one's going to hire you. Now that the story is out of what you did, nobody's going to hire you. They don't want you, especially a place where you handle money. They're not going to hire you. Would you hire her?
No.
That's crazy. See, and she's dumb. I mean, that's smart in putting it in her PayPal, but the PayPal's connected to her actual name. She should have created another PayPal under a different name, different phone number, email, not as the one she really uses, so that the money can go over there in that PayPal. Not PayPal, I mean Cash App. And it could sit there. Because they didn't find this out until they did an audit, and that money would have sat in that Cash App. that they would, and if they would, if they would have looked, and they would have looked under her cashes that she uses for real, they wouldn't have seen any of that Wendy's money going there. Like, okay, she stole $19,000 and something dollars from us. It's not on her actual Cash App, not on her bank account. Where the heck did she put the money?
Yeah. That, you know, that's just crazy.
I say if you're going to be a criminal, be a smart criminal. Because being a dumb criminal gets you busted all the time.
That is crazy.
So here's some good news. Wouldn't call it good news, but here's a good story, rather. And you could call this a piece of Black history. I'm going to pull up the information. I saved it. I'm going to pull up my page on Facebook because I saved the information. Here we go. So, Six, did you know there was a Black-owned baseball team?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
So this is what it says. It says, former MLB scout Mike Maiden is paving the way with the U.S.'s only Black independent baseball league. It says, he's launched 30 games in 30 days. You heard that? He's launched 30 games in 30 days. He started. So basically what he's done is bring back the Negro Leagues. That's basically what he has done on an independent level. He's brought back the Negro Leagues. He may not be using the same names as they did in the Negro League, but he's basically brought back the Negro Leagues. And we could have still had the Negro Leagues if a lot of these players didn't want to be integrated with the MLB. We could have still had the Negro Leagues if they didn't want to be integrated. We had Jackie Robinson, we had Satchel Paige, we got Willie Mays.
The Rick Rick.
No, Hank Aaron. Just think, if Satchel and Jackie Robinson wasn't integrated into Major League Baseball, that all the players, all the great baseball players would be right now in the Negro League Hall of Fame. They are in the Negro League Hall of Fame, but being that Jackie Robinson, Satchel Paige got integrated into the MLB, which is, you know, we now have Black players in Major League Baseball. But if they wouldn't have integrated, we would have had great players. Hank Aaron would have been a great player coming out of the Negro League. Willie Mays, a great player coming out. All our great MLB players would have been still great, but coming out of the Negro League.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, the only thing about that is they wouldn't have made the money. They wouldn't have made the money that they made, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to think about that, too.
I'm glad he's brought it back. The same thing with football. The same thing with football. You know, a lot of these sports that we love watching, you know, when they started, we were never a part of it. And then once we integrated into those sports, any sport that had a Negro League, once we integrated with the white people in their leagues, our leagues were no longer in existence. So, dude, you ready for some trivia?
Let's go. Let's get it. Let's get it.
Let me pull it up.
Get it. I need some intro music. When I get ready to do this trivia, I need you to make me some intro music, okay?
So, I got the first question, pulling it up.
Go. Get it.
Now, how many did you get right last week?
None. Maybe one.
I think you got two, because I think it was two music questions, and you got those right.
All right. Let's get it.
So, here's the first question. Who hosted the Muscular Dystrophy Association National Telethon for over 40 years?
Jerry Lewis. Let's get it.
You are correct. It was Jerry Lewis.
Let's go. Let's get it.
I'm going to tell the people. It says, Lewis' tenure as the host of the Muscular Dystrophy Association Telethon spanned over four decades from its 1966 inception until 2010, with his comedic flair and genuine passion for the cause, Lewis captivated audiences year after year, raising awareness and funds for individuals affected by the neuromuscular diseases. The telethon was held annually on Labor Day weekend and raised $2.45 billion for MDA. From its inception, the telethon broadcast up to 21 and a half hours, starting on the Sunday evening preceding Labor Day and continuing until late Monday afternoon on the holiday itself. And, you know, since Jerry Lewis passed away, they haven't done the telethon since.
Nope.
But I think people still donate to the cause. Here's the next question. Where would you address mail to Pope Francis? Where would you address mail to Pope Francis? Is it St. Peter's Basilica? St. Paul's Cathedral, St. Martha House, Basilica of St. Clement. Where would you address mail to
the
Paul,
last one?
Pope.
The
Francis?
Last one.
You said the last one?
The last one.
Let's see if you're right. See, one for one. It says Pope Francis does not have a public email address. The only way to contact His Holiness is through traditional mail. Each day, Pope Francis received thousands of letters from all over the world. However, unlike previous popes, Pope Francis chose to live in the Vatican guest house, also known as St. Martha's House. To send a letter to Pope Francis, the envelope should be addressed to His Holiness, Pope Francis, St. Martha's House, 00120, Vatican City, unlike domestic letters, which are delivered in 1 to 3 days, delivery time to Vatican City is 7 to 21 days. So you're one for one. Here's the next one.
Let's get it. Let's go. What's the more question?
Here's the question. What type of animal gave the Galapagos Islands its name? Bird, tortoise, gecko, crocodile. What type of animal gave the Galapagos Islands its name? Bird, tortoise, gecko, crocodile.
Tortoise. Let's get it. Let's go.
You are correct. You're two for one.
Let's go.
Says the Galapagos Islands derive their name from the Spanish word Galapago, which means tortoise. These islands were named after a giant tortoise that inhabit them, which were a notable feature discovered by Spanish explorers. These tortoises, now known as Galapagos tortoises, played a significant role in shaping Charles Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection, as he observed variations among them that were adapted to different environments on the islands. Thus, the Galapagos Islands owe their name to these remarkable reptiles. Okay. So you're two for one.
Let's go. Motherfucking six in row. Let's go.
Here's the next one.
iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, Six and Road. Check us out.
Which cartoon character was originally designed as a French poodle? Was it Snoopy, Elmer Fudd, Bugs Bunny, Betty Boop? Which cartoon character was originally designed as a French poodle? Snoopy, Elmer Fudd, Bugs Bunny, Betty Boop.
Snoopy.
Okay, and... So you're two for two. It says the answer is Betty Boop. It's an interestingly when Betty Boop made her debut in 1930.
Betty Boop be a dog and she's a human.
Let me read what the answer is. It says interestingly when Betty Boop made her debut in 1930, she wasn't depicted as a young woman, but rather as a talking and singing French poodle. Over time, she evolved into a human-like character with her trademark big eyes, button nose, and distinctive voice, becoming a symbol of the jazz age. Actress Clara Bow is often given credit as being the inspiration for Boop. However, it was actress Helen Kane who sued Betty's creators, claiming the character was simply a copy of her own stage act, right down to her catchphrase.
Let's
so you're
go.
Two for two.
Let's go.
Here's the next one.
Go.
Okay.
Let's go.
So Heathcliff is the hero of which classic novel? Heathcliff is the hero of which classic novel? Is it Jane Eyre, Wuthering Heights, Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility? Heathcliff is the hero of which classic novel? Jane Eyre?
Sense and Sensibility.
You said Sense and Sensibility?
That's right. Let's go.
You're about to be 2-for-3. It is Wuthering Heights. It says, written by Emily Bronte. Written by Emily Bronte, stands as a timeless masterpiece in English literature, set against the haunting backdrop of the Yorkshire moors. The novel delves deep into themes of love, revenge, and the destructive power of passion. At its heart lies the enigmatic hero Heathcliff, a brooding and tortured soul whose tumultuous love for Catherine Earnshaw drives the narrative. Heathcliff's complex character, marked by his fierce loyalty and vengeful nature, captivates readers as they journey through the turbulent landscape of his life.
Let's go.
So you're 2-for-3. Here's the next one. Which music, you should get this one. Which music legend was buried with his Red Gibson guitar? Was it Jimi Hendrix, Chuck Berry, Prince, B.B. King? Which music legend was buried with his Red Gibson guitar? Jimi Hendrix, Chuck Berry, Prince, B.B. King?
But two of them had red guitars. Chuck Berry.
Correct. So you're 3-for-3.
Let's go. Let's go.
Says,
6 in a row.
Fittingly, for a man who revolutionized the use of the instrument, Chuck Berry was laid to rest with his beloved cherry red Gibson guitar, which was bolted to the inside lid of the coffin. Former President Bill Clinton sent a heartfelt letter that was read at the funeral by Missouri Congressman Lacey Clay, which hailed Berry as one of America's greatest rock and roll pioneers. A guitar-shaped flower wreath was also on display, generously provided by the Rolling Stones, and moving eulogy was delivered by Gene Simmons of the iconic rock band Kiss. So you're 3-for-3.
Go. Let's go.
Here's the next one.
March 19th, 2024, 6 in a row. Let's go.
Okay. Which man was known as the Wizard of Menlo Park? Which man was known as the Wizard of Menlo Park? Was it Lou Gehrig, Thomas Edison, Walt Disney, John D. Rockefeller? Which man was known as the Wizard of Menlo Park? Lou Gehrig, Thomas Edison, Walt Disney, John D. Rockefeller?
Walt Disney. Let's Let's go. Fuck.
You are 3 for 4.
It was Lou Gehrig. God damn.
No, it was not. It was Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison earned his nickname the Wizard of Menlo Park for his prolific innovation during the late 19th and early 20th centuries. His laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey, became a hub of groundbreaking research and experimentation where he developed numerous inventions that revolutionized modern life, including the phonograph, the motion picture camera, and the incandescent light bulb.
God.
With over 1,000 patents for his inventions, Thomas Edison is credited today for helping to build America's economy during the Industrial Revolution.
All right. Let's go. Let's go.
Here's the next one. The father of two members of the group, Wilson Phillips, was the co-founder of which band? The Eagles, the Moody Blues, the Beach Boys, the Monkees. I know this answer. What's your answer?
The Eagles.
The answer is the Beach Boys. Because Wilson Phillips is Carney Wilson. His sister's name is Wendy. And the other girl, I can't remember her name, but... So Wilson Phillips is a pop vocal group formed in Los Angeles in 1989. The group consists of sisters Connie and Wendy Wilson, the daughters of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, and China Phillips, the daughter of John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. The trio were friends from childhood, growing up in Southern California in the 70s and 80s. It went on to release a debut album that would sell more than 10 million copies. Their debut single, Hold On, hit number 1 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 charts on June 9th, 1990. And that was, I figured you would get that right. That was a music question. So,
yeah.
You're 3 for 5.
Let's go. Steady. Let's go.
Here's the next one. What are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles named after? Are they actors, artists, scientists, musicians? What are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles named after? Actors, artists, scientists, musicians?
Artists. Let's go.
Okay, so you're 4. What is it, 4 for 4 now? Or 4 for 5?
Yeah, let's go. 4 for 5, let's go. Shit, 6 in a row.
Yeah, let me read that. Okay. It says here, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, beloved icons of pop culture, boasts a unique origin story of the intertwined art and martial arts, created by comic book artist Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. These pizza-loving heroes in a half-shell are not only skilled in combat, but are also named after the Italian Renaissance artists Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, and Michelangelo, which Laird said felt just quirky enough to fit the concept. This clever... The advertisement popped up as I'm reading. It says this clever nod not only adds depth to their characters, but also reflects the creator's appreciation for art history. Okay, here's the next one.
Let's go. Go.
Let's go.
Here we go. Who was the first woman to host Saturday Night Live? Who was the first woman to host Saturday Night Live? Was it Candace Bergen, Betty White, Carrie Fisher, Barbara Streisand? Who was the first woman to host Saturday Night Live? Was it Candace Bergen, Betty White, Carrie Fisher, Barbara Streisand?
Carrie Fisher.
You said Carrie Fisher?
Mm-hmm.
First one, man to host, first woman to host is Candace Bergen. Says, George Collins served as the first host of Saturday Night Live when the sketch comedy debuted in 1975. Just three episodes later, Candace Bergen made her mark as the first female host, breaking barriers with her debut at age 27. Bergen had no comedy experience listed on her resume yet. Lorne Michaels asked her to host the fourth episode. He was so impressed with her performance, she was invited back to host again just a month later. Bergen was also the first woman to join the Five Timers Club when she hosted SNL for the fifth time in 1990. What, I'm going to give you a bonus, and you should know this. What show was Candace Bergen lead on? What show was Candace Bergen lead of?
What show?
What TV show was Candace Bergen lead of? You should know this one. I'm sure you watched it more than once.
I don't think so. Charlie's Angels?
No.
I think I ever.
You give up?
Candace Burgess. She's Caucasian. I know that. Dynasty?
What you said? What? You said Dynasty?
Dynasty?
Yeah. Nope. Dynasty was in the 80s. Her show came out, I want to say, in the 90s.
Malcolm in the Middle?
Nope. You give up?
In the 90s.
You want me to tell you the answer?
Yeah, what is it?
Murphy Brown.
Oh, I didn't watch Murphy Brown. I never would have guessed that.
Oh. She played the lead.
Yeah.
And here's the next question. You might be able to get this. Which U.S. river was engineered to flow backwards? Which U.S. river was engineered to flow backwards? Is it the Chicago River, Missouri River, Colorado River, Mississippi River? I think I know the answer to this, but what's your answer? This is the last question.
What's
your answer?
Mississippi River.
You going with Mississippi?
Yeah.
I'm gonna put in your answer, but before I let the real answer come up, I'm gonna give an answer. I think it's the Colorado River.
Okay.
Because Mississippi, it says, the answer to this is, it says, in the late 19th century, facing issues of population and sanitation due to the river's flow into Lake Michigan, engineers undertook a massive endeavor to permanently reverse the river's flow, sending its polluted water to the Mississippi River instead, and the project involved constructing an intricate network of canals, locks, and channels, ultimately connecting the Chicago River to the Illinois River system. Completed in 1900, this 8-year project effectively reversed the flow of the Chicago River, diverting the polluted water away from Lake Michigan. So it was the Chicago River. I thought it was Colorado because that's where they go and do white water rafting. So I figured it would be that. But that was the last trivia question. We'll be back again on Tuesday with six doing more trivia. But he's gotten, I think, 5 out of 90 seconds. Got 5 out of 8. And so tonight I'll be back at 11 p.m. with the Indie Experience. So you get nothing but the best in indie music on Six Sides Radio at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is the Children's Bible Study. And if you want to tune into that show, the number to call is 515. Finish it off, 6.
60 seconds.
9340.
And at 7 p.m., we have the Adult Bible Study. And you can call in to 424-243-9617 to tune into that show. And both shows are given by Missionary Ken. And this Wednesday on Road to Stardom Radio is the Promote Your Business show for you, the entrepreneur, the artist, the business owner. Anyone with something to promote can call us at 845-277-9356. That is 845-277-9356 to promote what you got going on. And make sure that you keep rocking with us.
And what time is that?
Radio and Six Sides Radio. We're going to keep giving you great programming.
10 seconds.
So we will see you at our next shows. So we're going to say peace, one love. We appreciate you, as always. Bye-bye now.
Hey, we didn't have the heartthrob tonight.
Well.
No.
Oh, well. Maybe he found him a girlfriend.
Well, you know he's going to be mad because. Oh, boy. What's up, Heartthrob from the 80s? All right, y'all take care. God bless. Good night, America.
Good night.
Catch you next Tuesday.
Peace.
Peace.